It's good to see everyone this morning, that God has blessed all of us in being able to arise and to be able to assemble here this morning to study another portion of His holy and divine word. I pray for my lessons that I present and bring before audience before I get up to preach those lessons, praying to God that the lesson will be taught in a fashion where everyone can understand, where we see we're not living right according to God's word, we will repent and do that which is right in God's sight. And if we have visitors that is not a member of the church, we hope that you will learn some lessons during this week that will help you to understand what the purpose of the church is and how you must become a member of that church if you want to be saved. Now, my lesson this morning is dealing with the social gospel. The word social should never be used when it comes to the things of God. Now, I know that we get together for social events, like we're going to have a get together for a potluck. That's different. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about using the word social in a way to draw people in where you can teach them the gospel by using food and entertainment and things like that. We don't have any scriptural authority according to God's word to do that. We have to do the things that's pleased to the Lord. Now, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. And I want us to notice, first of all, this scripture. I'm on medication right now, so some of the medicine that I'm taking, it makes my mouth feel like it's dry. And so when you see me wiping my mouth, that's not something I'm doing just to get noticed. I'm doing it because my mouth feels like it's dry. It's like you go to a dentist and they give you a shot in the mouth somewhere, sometime close to the lip under the gum. Your lips feel like they're about that big. But they're really not big at all. They're the same size, but they feel like it. And I know because mine's are big, so boy, I tell you, I really feel it. I'd be thinking that way. And that's the way I feel about my mouth. It more feel like it's dry, but really, it's nothing different. But let's look at Hebrews 13 and 8. In that text, it says, Jesus Christ, and I'm using the King James Version, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Just think about that. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 talks about God doesn't change. Now, we're living in changing times today, brother, and all of us in here recognize that. And I'm glad for some of the changes that we have in the world today. Cell phones, computers, many things we can think of that people a long time ago didn't have. We're blessed with so much. But when it comes to religion, when it comes to worshiping God, we shouldn't change any of God's laws. We should let God's laws be just what they are and follow them to the T by not adding or subtracting from them. But many of our brethren today are doing that, and I want you to know that they are not pleasing in the sight of God. So let's look at another thing concerning this lesson, dealing again, the social gospel. First of all, let's get the meaning of the term social gospel. Now, this is the best I came up with. The social gospel sets forth the idea that the main purpose of the gospel is not to deliver the man from sin, keep that in mind now, and spiritual death, but rather to elevate man and to promote his social well-being here on earth. Then here's another definition of the same thing. The social gospel is a political, doctrinally liberal religious movement in the United States and the Western Europe that believes that the work of God's church is to what? Is first of all, eliminate human suffering through social reform, take a public and activist role in opposing social injustice and advocating for human rights, serve the perceived needs of the whole man by spending time and resources not on just the gospel of Christ and spiritual matters, but on mental, physical health, substance addictions, lifestyles, and other similar things, non-spiritual matters in life. That's what the social gospel deals with. It's not concerned about man's soul. It is only concerned about entertainment and taking care of man's well-being. And we need to recognize what God's word teaches concerning that, and that's why this subject is so important. Let's look at the history. How did the social gospel get started? Well, where did it come from? Well, to the best of what I picked up from my study, this is what I came up with. The social gospel began during the Industrial Revolution in the 1800s, really became an active force in the second half of the 20th century. Most so-called mainstream denominations were involved in this movement, not the Lord's church, denominational churches. Then notice also, it began in these so-called Protestant denominations, but quickly swept among the Catholics and the Jews. Well, is that something that we as Christians should be involved in? Well, we need to recognize what the Bible says concerning it. Let's talk about the social gospel's only concern with man's body. Yes, I'll explain what I mean by looking at these points. First of all, I put up here about five scriptures because the social gospel is concerned about man's body, but it's not concerned about his soul. So the gospel of Christ is concerned about what? Saving man's soul, not the social gospel. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 14 through 16, this is a scripture that most of all of us in here who know our Bibles can just about quote the whole text. But let's look at it, though. Romans chapter 1 and the verse is number 16. Paul says, in that 14th verse, he says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Barbarians, he is just referring to heathens or uncultural, you know, people, foreign Gentiles. But he says here, I'm a debtor to both the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. In other words, God's gospel is the power to save for anyone that wants to come to Christ. Then Paul says, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, and keep that pronoun it in your mind, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jews first, and also to the Greeks. Where's the power found at, brethren? In the gospel of Christ. Not in the social gospel, but the plain gospel of Christ. And there are other scriptures. We are called by the gospel, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 14. Paul preached the gospel to the Corinthians when he was on his second missionary journey, I believe. He taught them, and they obeyed the gospel, according to 1 Corinthians 15. It won't take but a second to read those few verses, but I want you to notice something important in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, not social gospel, but the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have what? Received, wherein ye stand. They stood for it. By which also ye are what? Saved by the gospel. Not the social gospel, but the gospel of Christ that has power to save man. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died. Didn't Christ die? He died. Which all he died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried. And he rose again, according to the scriptures, the third day, Christ rose. You know, that's the good news, brethren. That's why we call it the gospel, because it is the good news. If Jesus wouldn't have came to this world to die for mankind, we wouldn't have had nothing today. We'd have been lost and looking forward to hell in the last day. That's all we had, nothing else. But Christ came, took the form of a human, walked this earth for 30-some years, suffered and died for mankind so that we have a right to the tree of life, or we have a right to heaven. And we ought to be so happy to know that. But when people reject the gospel, they're going to be lost. Let me give you a scripture to show that if people reject the gospel of Christ, that's, you know, you have to believe that. You have to be willing to repent and confess Christ and be baptized in water for remission of sins. But I want to show you a scripture showing that if you reject the gospel of Christ, there's nothing else that can save you. I'm going now to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Not chapter 2 this time, but chapter 1. And I want you to notice from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse number 8 and 9 with me, if you will. Verse 8 and 9. Paul says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Atheists, a lot of people reject God because they don't want to obey. They'd rather serve sin than obey God, so they're going to die in their sin because of that. But watch this. And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are many that you probably taught that didn't want to receive the gospel. They rejected it. And if you reject the gospel, there's nothing else that can save you in the last day. Jesus is not doing what he did to the thief on the cross when he says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He's not doing that anymore. We have to obey God's word, the New Testament teaching, if we want to be saved. That's the only way they're going to be saved. And so there are many that reject the gospel. But it's the good news. And what brings man to Christ is not the social gospel. It's the pure gospel of Christ that's found in this word that saves man from sin when they obey it, the calling. We're called by the gospel, Paul said there. And that's why we have the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18 through 20. Well, let's look at something else. The social gospel, on the other hand, is not concerned about man's soul, but his what? Body. His physical needs, in other words. Satisfying him more than teaching him the gospel. That's why we have exercise clubs, health spas, and gyms in some of these congregations today. Some of our brethren are doing this today. They're involved in institutionalism. And so they bring in exercise gyms and treadmills and all this kind of thing, taking money out of the treasury to buy those kind of things. And what do they buy them for? They buy them so that they can please the members. Another reason they do it is to bring people in. You know, they'll say, oh, that Church of Christ congregation over there got health spas, they got clubs, and I want to join that. Well, you need to obey the gospel first before you join the club, and then you can be a member with us. So what drew them in there? Was it the gospel of Christ, or was it the entertainment, the club, and the health spas and gyms? That's what brought them. And so the gospel today has nothing to do with that. And we'll learn that as we go on in this lesson. Let's look at something else. Many liberal churches of Christ are more concerned about the physical exercise, and being entertained than helping brethren mature in Christ. I know about congregations where they have, they took mine out of treasury, and they built the building next to the church building, and they used that building for recreation. And they said, that's not a sin. We took the money out of the treasury, and we purchased these things to keep the college kids happy. That's why we have pool tables and what they call that, ping pong and all of this. Keep the people happy. That's not what the social gospel is, brethren. Social gospel has nothing to do with that. If I want to exercise, I can exercise on my own time. I don't have to put the church in that business. That's not the work of the church. And we'll see that as I go on in this lesson. So many liberal churches are involved in that today. Some have gigantic gymnasiums. They have what they call these multi-million dollar entertainment centers where kids can go and have a fun and basketball courts and baseball teams and all this kind of thing. We have no scriptural authority for that. That is not the work of the church. That's a social gospel. 1 Peter chapter 5, if I mentioned to you before in 2 Peter 1, I won't read all of this right now, but if you look at 2 Peter 1, it tells us what to add to our lives to make us faithful and can get us to heaven. It didn't say anything about entertainment, fun, joy, all of that. I'm talking about entertaining. That's what I'm referring to. It didn't say anything about that. It says add to your faith virtues, knowledge, and all of these. And if you abide in these things, you can make heaven your home, not entertainment. And then you got Galatians 5, which deals with the works of the flesh. And some brethren are doing these kind of things today. But my point is this. Remember this one. That's the second one. The social gospel, on the other hand, is not concerned about man's soul, but his body. That's what we need to always remember. Let's move on. The advocates of the social gospel stress that we should minister to the whole man. But what does that mean? That means that we should supply every physical desire of man for entertainment, bodily exercise, counseling for every situation faced by people in the world today. So in other words, the church is a social place where people can go with have problem, or they need this or they need that. Nothing wrong with talking to brethren when they are having problems to encourage them. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's something wrong when they get involved in entertainment and bodily exercise and all. I know of a place where they let me come in there and preach for them for a whole week. I preached for them for a whole week. And boy, you talking about some mad brethren. They should have invited me because I preached against everything they were doing. I said, I just saw out there on y'all wall that y'all have a karate class on Wednesday night. I said, show me where the Bible says that Christians can get together because it's a work of the church for us to have karate classes. I said, if anybody want to learn karate, they can go learn it on their own. I could teach you a little bit about boxing. I boxed before. I could teach you a little bit about that if you want to do that. But it's not the work of the church. That's not the work of the church. But that's what our brethren are doing today, see. And so they're getting into this entertainment, faith, praise, and all. And that's what's causing all these problems today with our brethren. Let's notice something else. Let's talk about the social gospel a little bit more. The social gospel is concerned with man's physical needs and wants. Yes. And I hope you notice some of these. The social gospel is concerned with feeding man's body. Mm-hmm. Brother, and I went to a congregation where we used to have what they call a fourth Sunday get together. That's where all the churches from in the community come together on the fourth Sunday. And we'll come to one congregation and we'll cook in that kitchen downstairs and have all that good food. And while you're sitting up there saying Jesus is all the world to me, you can smell that good fried chicken down there. You're cooking all that good food, making it hard on the fellow to try to get through service. But anyway, that was me. And, you know, they'd be doing all of that entertaining. And guess what they did? And I did it, too, and I was wrong. And I really didn't learn the difference until Conway Skinner taught me. And then I went to Florida College, and I learned a lot more. They used to have skits and plays in the church, and I was involved in them. At one time, brother, and I played the devil one time. I had a horn. I was in a red suit, a tail, and I was running with a pitchfork through the all the way through the middle of the hall of the building, running like somebody's running after me. Chase the devil, and I'm running. Then I fell down on the floor, and the pin in the back that held the tail together popped loose and hit me right in the wrong place. And I got up, and I ran faster than I ever did before. But see, that had nothing to do with the gospel of Christ. All that was entertainment. And our brethren are getting involved in entertainment today, and they're leaving the gospel out. And they're not teaching anyone anything. The social gospel is concerned with feeding man's body. Churches are providing food, clothing, and to hold. Now, keep that in mind. Churches are providing food and clothing to hold the members. They're using this to keep them there. But what should keep a member faithful in the Lord? Right here. Not social entertainment, not clubs and things that these brothers are getting involved in today. So Church of Christ is providing food and clothing to hold the members. One liberal preacher said this, and it's a shame, but this is what he said. We feed people because Christ went about feeding the people. You know what he meant by that? He meant the reason we give food to those who are not members of the church and would not let them go hungry and we take the money out of the treasury to feed them is because Jesus did it in John chapter 6 and verse 27. And they'll say, that's the reason why if a poor person come in the assembly, we're just going to treasury to help them. But you know what, brother? We have no scriptural authority for that. We're told to go in the treasury to help needy saints, not just anyone that's walking in the church that needs assistance. Now, what can we do to help those people? Can I, as an individual member of the church, go in my pocket and help that poor person? I sure can. You can get four or five brethren together, and they'll make up the church either. Four or five of them, and they can say, let's feed this man. But I don't do that a bunch of times. They'll come in the church building when they see Church of Christ. Ah, Church of Christ. I know I can go in there. They'll come in and say, I'm hungry. Look at my kids. I've seen one family came in when I was in Memphis. The kids came in with holes in their clothes, and he had a beat-up car and all. And he said, can you, brethren, feed us? So the brother said, well, we know what the scriptures teach. We want to do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. But we can't go in the treasury to help them because we have no scriptural authority. So let's take them out and feed them. Oh, no, we don't want the food. We just want the money. No, you say you're hungry, I'm going to take and feed you. One brother named, his brother named Blanton, he's in Nacogdoches, Texas. He preaches there now. He told me one time how about a fella came to him and asked him would he feed him, and he's just had all the groceries. He said, I have a can of sardines right here. I'm going to eat them with my crackers. You can have these sardines or anything you want. Oh, I don't eat sardines. I don't eat them. I tell you, when you're hungry, you eat a cat anything when you're hungry. If you're hungry enough. But he was just saying, see, he just wanted the money. And so when you help people, you have to be careful about helping them. You don't want to help them to drink more or to smoke cigarettes or use drugs. So when they ask you to feed them, take them to McDonald's, take them and feed them. You know, take them home and feed them. But you don't have to give them money. You don't have to do that. But I'm just showing you that there are brethren who do this. They say, well, we're going to go in the treasury and take some money. Right now, we raised $400. Let's go in the treasury and take that $400 and give it to the man. And you ask them, where's the scriptural authority for that? They'll say, well, God's word say do good unto all men. I say, yes, he did say do that to him. But he was talking to individuals. He wasn't talking to the church. They are the individuals. And some brethren like to pull that out of context sometimes. Well, let's move on. The Lord's church is not the welfare. It's not in the welfare business. We're not in the welfare business. We're in the business of saving souls for the Lord. and adding bodies to the Lord's church and helping and build up the brethren in the body of Christ, not involved in entertainment. The social gospel manifests itself by emphasizing the physical. There it is again. Meals are used to increase attendance. Gymnasiums are constructed to minister to the physical part of man, for like basketball and baseball and buying uniforms and going into church treasury to purchase those things. Have no scriptural authority for that. I hope y'all can see this one. Entertainment is provided to bring more people and to appeal to the physical side of man. One congregation even engaged in a play called A Fiddler on the Roof. They had a movie shown in the church building dealing with the fiddler on the roof. Now, what does that have to do with winning someone to Christ with the gospel? If that's not entertainment, what is entertainment? People came and watched the movie and said, well, that's a good movie, and went back home. Didn't teach them anything about Christ. They used this to try to draw them in. Well, all we need is the real gospel. That's all we need. The power is in the gospel, brethren. It's not in teaching doctrines of men. Let's move on. The social gospel brings sinners to Christ. That's why I asked the question. I said, does it bring sinners to Christ? The social gospel? Well, let's see. Well, first of all, theoretical renditions of Bible characters and that are advertised to bring in members to appeal to the physical enjoyment. In other words, there are some churches right now, brother, and you probably don't believe that this happens, but there are some congregations somewhere in this United States right now where they have plays concerning the birth of Christ and Christmas. They have the plays. I'm talking about a brother have on the little thing over his head playing Jesus and the little baby sitting in there and all of this and all kinds of singing all this to draw people in. Brother, the gospel of Christ is what brings us, not this. We don't use that. Getting to know God through the Simpsons. Will you believe that some brethren use the Simpsons to try to bring people to Christ? I know of probably some of y'all heard of this. A few years ago, some brothers decided that on Wednesday night, instead of having a Wednesday night Bible class, they decided to show Andy Griffith movies. So what they did, they put a screen up and they show Andy Griffith movie. They say we could learn something about morality by watching Andy Griffith and morals and all of this. And Bonnie lies and Andy lies. And, and they say that they can learn from that. See how ridiculous that is? They should have been teaching them God's word instead of getting involved in that. But that's what our brothers are doing. And then also notice choirs and other special musical groups are brought in to entertain. Clowns, they have clowns and puppet shows in some of these congregations today. I go on the internet all the time, and I always punch in Church of Christ, and I look at the churches from one state and just look at them, and I go on those websites and find out what these brethren are doing. And they have clowns, a brother dressed in a clown suit. They have puppet shows for the children in the auditorium, teaching people lessons from that. And I know about choirs because I was in one. Y'all do know that some of our brethren do have singing groups, don't you? Singing groups. I was in one for the church. They'll sing and entertain the audience. Remember I told y'all about the fourth Sunday get-together where they had to play? They also have the singing. That is, one group would get up and sing before the audience. And then after they sing a few songs, they'll say, all the members start clapping their hands. Amen, that was a good song. Then another group get up and they'll clap their hands for them. And then one time I decided to get up to sing. I ain't know any better. And I sung a solo in the congregation. And when I got through, I didn't get but one clap. So I know what that meant, so I just sat on down real smooth there. But it shouldn't be that way, because here you got competition, see? All that can be eliminated if people would just go by what the New Testament says, stick to the Bible. We said we speak the Bible, speak the way the Bible speaks, and we are silent when the Bible is silent. Some of our brethren are not doing that today. Then let's notice something else here. Some churches have ministers on job training and counselors and such like. They have, I didn't bring my other notes with me, but that's okay. But you'd be surprised what's going on today with some of these congregations. They have minister of parking. he helped people park outside. Minister of this and ministers of that. And you'll be surprised what you see in some of these congregations. Brother, it's the gospel that brings us. The gospel of Christ answers, however, to the needs of the whole man in a spiritual way. Because your soul is more important than anything in this whole world. What should a man, gain if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In 2 Timothy, we are told in that text that we need to preach the gospel of Christ. I won't read all of these. I'll just read just a couple of them. 2 Timothy chapter 4, for instance. And I start with verse number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. The text says here, preach the word. And Paul was talking to Timothy. This is his last letter that he wrote to him. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's happening right now. But after their own ears, or lust, excuse me, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from hearing the truth, or from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And that's happening right now. Some of my brethren don't want to hear the gospel anymore. They just want to hear philosophy. They want to be entertained. They don't want to hear Christ anymore. Matter of fact, some of them don't even give the imitations anymore. They don't give the imitations. And they say, you're all right, you're saved already or whatever. And some of them are going on against the plan of salvation. Max Licato, for instance. I'm glad he took Church of Christ down because he was hurting us. Because Max Licato is a favorite now of the denominational people because he is involved in denominationalism now. But he used to be one that loved the word of God and preached the truth. Now he's not doing that. Ruby Shelley and many others are not standing anymore. The gospel of Christ answers. It tells us, it answers the whole problem with man that he needs salvation. He needs to be saved. Let's move on. The so-called gospel can't save anyone. It really can't. And that's the purpose of this lesson. Now, let's look at some other things I think is important. I believe the social gospel makes men worse to make them better. Excuse me. And there's no power in the social gospel to make men in the belly. You know, there is power. Your power comes from the gospel. It doesn't come from social entertainment or things like that. So I don't believe there's no power in the social gospel at all. Only the gospel can save man. The gospel of Christ makes men better. Let me give you an example, just one. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I want you to look at something from that text. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In that chapter, Paul is referring to some of the Gentiles that used to be involved in homosexuality, drunkenness, all kinds of sins. But then Paul says that when they obeyed the gospel, they were sanctified, justified. They became members of the Lord's church when they obeyed the gospel. Paul says, such were some of you. But then he tells them in the next verse, according to this text here, in 1 Corinthians 6, then he tells them in verse number 11, and such were some of you. But ye are what? Washed. That's referring to baptism. But ye are what? Sanctified. They're separated now to God. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. In other words, the gospel made these people better. They stopped their homosexuality. They stopped their drunkenness. They stopped being idolaters and all of this and fornicators. They gave it up and became members of the church. So the gospel makes you better. But entertainment, all that does is just entertains you. And I read, that's supposed to be 2 Thessalonians 1:9. Well, no, that is the right text. 1 Thessalonians 1:9. Here's another scripture that shows you what these brethren were involved in at one time. And listen what happens, what happened to them in verse number 9. If you have them, read it. It says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had unto you. And how that, watch this, how that ye turn to God from what? Idols to serve the living and true God. The Thessalonians, that one time they were involved in idolatry. The gospel made them better. They didn't use the social gospel to do that. They used the plain gospel of Christ to do that. And that's what we need to use today, brethren. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, verse 34. He went on his way rejoicing after he obeyed the gospel. He had just came from Jerusalem worshiping. We know that it wasn't the right worship anymore because the old law had been nailed to the tree. Now we are under the New Testament, and he needed to obey the gospel of Christ. And Philip taught him the gospel in Acts 8. Well, let's get that on there. I don't know what that is. There's something. I'm missing something there. Let me move on. Christ continually taught concerning the spiritual rather than the physical. He did the same thing. Remember those people following Christ in Matthew chapter, John chapter 6? They were following Christ for food rather than learning what they need to do to be saved. And we have people doing the same thing today. They follow Christ for the wrong reason. But Christ continually taught the spiritual rather than the physical. Look at Matthew 6:19. He tells us to put our treasures up in heaven, not upon this earth, where they're mold, rust. They're not going to last long. Christ taught lessons from birds and lilies to cause us to have the right idea concerning priorities, which means seek God's kingdom first, and these things shall be added unto you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 33. And then Christ instructed Martha not to be overly concerned about things which are not that important. You see, Mary was sitting there listening at Jesus, learning from Jesus. Martha was concerned about entertaining Jesus. And there's some difference there. We need to recognize it. Romans chapter 10, these are just scriptures that are dealing with something I just mentioned concerning the people following Christ. They were following him for the wrong reason. They were following him because he fed them, not because they want to learn what to do to be saved or learn from the master. What they did, they just followed him for the food. And you know, that's what many brothers are doing today. When you put out that we're having a fellowship meal here on the fourth Sunday. Now, you brothers here don't do that, of course, but I'm saying if churches did that, it will draw more people come to want to eat. They'll come in, they'll want to eat. But I always tell the story about the cat. We got one, as a matter of fact. I was always told by my mother, don't feed cats that you don't know who cats they are. If they come to your house, don't feed them. Well, we didn't listen. So the cat came up there meowing, so we just fed him. And then the next day he stayed there. And the next day he stayed there. And we couldn't get rid of the cat. And what I'm saying is this. If you use entertainment to draw people in to hear the gospel of Christ, you're going to have to keep feeding them and keep entertaining them to keep them there. That's what I'm getting at. And that's what you're going to have to do, or they'll leave. Bring them in with the gospel, the pure gospel of Christ, and it keeps them in faith, and it keeps them steadfast in Christ if you're teaching them the truth. We don't need no entertainment to bring people to Christ. We can do that on our own time. When it comes to the work of the church, that's not what the Bible deals with. And then let's notice this. Other reasons. Let me mention just a couple more here. It perverts the nature of the mission of Christ. Christ in died on the cross for us to be entertained. He died on the cross so that we'll be saved. Well, of course we can entertain. We can do that at our homes if we want to. Take people out, feed them, go to games. That's not the work of the church, though. And that's what I'm driving here at. Jesus came to save the lost, not to entertain people. His appeal was spiritual in nature, not carnal. Let's read it. Oh, I can quote it. Luke 19:10 said, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That's what he came here for. In the first century, the church didn't even get involved in entertainment in the first place. They didn't do that. The social gospel takes the focus off of Jesus coming to save the lost and put it on what? Fun, food, recreation, and folly. Why? Because it wants to entertain man. That's not what the gospel does. The gospel doesn't do that. Salvation is overshadowed by recreation. Yes, that's how it is in some congregations right now. They talk more about recreation than they do Jesus. And they talk about more entertaining people than teaching them about Christ. That's why our brethren are weak today. And some are doing many things that are unscriptural and they don't even know it because they don't search the scriptures to learn God's will. And that is a shame that some brethren are doing this today. And then let's notice also other reasons why the social gospel is sinful. Let me give you a few more. It underestimates the power of the gospel. We can bring them in, entertaining them, rather than the gospel bringing them in. You know what some brethren are doing now? They're saying, they call it unity and diversity, but really what it is, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want to offend you. Don't offend me. If you're a Methodist preacher, we'll let you come in and speak for us Sunday morning, and I go preach in your congregation, and vice versa. We don't want to do anything to offend you. Don't say anything to offend us. We just want to have love between each other. We just want to have unity. But if you're divided, you're here and there and I'm there, we can all come together and just do the same thing and God will be pleased with it. But that's not the work of the church. What that does is it underestimates the gospel of Christ. And then notice also, the gospel is fully capable of bringing the lost to Christ. It doesn't need any help from man. The gospel has sufficient power to prick the hearts of those who are lost in their sin to save them. What did Peter use on the day of Pentecost? Well, he preached to them the gospel, didn't he? If you read Acts chapter 2, you'll learn in there what Peter preached about the death, burial, he preached the resurrection of Christ. He taught them also that they had crucified Christ. Now, they did not literally nail the nails in his hand and feet. They didn't do that. The Romans did that. But they had something to do with his death, because when Pilate said, "Whom do you want me to release? Jesus or Barabbas?" All those Jews mostly raised their hands and said, "Away with Christ, crucify him and let Barabbas go." So they did have something to do with his death. But after Peter taught them about Christ on the day of Pentecost, he didn't even finish his sermon. He didn't even finish what he was teaching them. They stopped him. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter told them what they needed to do. He said, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And that's exactly what they did. They were baptized for remission of sins. They were added to the body of Christ. Did Peter use any social entertainment to draw them in? No. I'll tell you the truth. With some brethren in the body of Christ today, you have to put a piece of bread on a stick and put it in front of them to get them to come to church. And you shouldn't have to do that, because every member of the Lord's church should love the Lord so much that they enjoy coming to church. Say, "I enjoy going to church. I don't know about you, but I enjoy going. I know I'm the preacher there. I got to be there." but I still enjoy going. I like going to gospel meetings to sit in, to hear brothers sing, to sit in and sing with them and hear a good sermon. Even if I don't heard the sermon before, there's something I can learn. And we shouldn't have to use any social entertainment to draw people in, brother. And we're going to talk about that in the next lesson, not this one, but the next lesson would be dealing with that. But they used the gospel to convert these people. In Romans 16, the word power is translated from the Greek word dunamis, if I pronounce it correctly. Our English word, we get the word dynamite from that word. In other words, the gospel is God's dynamite to save souls. Not the social gospel. We don't use a social gospel to bring people in here. We teach them the gospel of Christ and what they need to do to be saved. We don't use a social gospel. And you don't hear sermons like this that much today. But brother need to hear these kind of sermons. The social gospel appeals to man's carnal desires. Yes, it does. When you look at it, it does. Whatever man needs is replaced by whatever man wants. Instead of the gospel. Churches now offer softball teams, bowling leagues, daycare facilities. Yes. Have you, brother, never? You know what? If I'm going to a new town, if I came through right now, didn't even know y'all were here, and I was looking for a place to go worship, all I have to do is drive down the road and just start looking at the church buildings. If I see a daycare center outside that church building, I already know what that means. I know they're not doing something the Lord said, because that's not the purpose of that. So I already know that already. If you see a big old gymnasium behind the church building, guess who these brethren got that from? Denominational churches. Look at the Baptist church. When you drive down the Baptist church, you see a daycare center. And look behind the building, you got a big old gymnasium back there. Some of them now are adding McDonald's to their buildings now. I hope we don't get to the point where we're doing that. But there are some denominations already doing it. They got McDonald's tied right into the building, so the members go get coffee, get a hamburger, and come on back. That's ridiculous. But let's look at this again. Churches now offer softball teams, bowling leagues, daycare facilities, weight loss programs, basketball games, movie nights, karate lessons, hunting trips, financial seminars, theoretical or theater performance or that, all of mechanics in Spanish. And they do this on, they'll say, "Well, we're going to come together and we're going to have let's say we're going to have a movie night. And we're going to show the movie right in this building. And we're inviting all people to come out and be with us." Is that scriptural for us to do that? No. Is it all right for me if I ask two or three brethren, "Would you like to go to a movie with me?" And don't have the church connected to it. Is that better? Yes, that's better. That's the way it should be done. Don't put the church with that, because that's not the work of the church. And that's what I'm going to be talking about in the next lesson. So we don't have any. Now, there are churches that do this. We'll just mention they do that. We don't have no business doing that. And these things appeal to what? They don't appeal to the soul of man. They're only concerned about his physical needs, entertaining him, taking care of the whole man. And that's not scripture in God's sight. Well, we'll get ready to wrap this. The social gospel appeal to man's carnal desires. I mentioned that, but here's a few more. What about edification, evangelism, benevolence? This is what God authorizes in the work for the work of the church. You don't see entertainment in there, do you? Nope. The social gospel gives man food, clothing, recreational activities, you know, to lead them spiritually starving because they don't learn nothing. They just come there to eat, to be entertained, and they go home. It is concerned with recreation, not sanctification. Think about that for a minute. Social gospel is concerned about recreation, taking care of man's needs, and not sanctification, teaching him what he needs to know from God's word. And denominational churches, that's what they do. We shouldn't be doing it. They don't even know what the meaning of the work of the church is. So denominational churches embrace this condemnation of the social gospel. And Church of Christ must not. And I'll close with this. Turn to Romans chapter 8. You need to look at this one with me, unless you know it already. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse number 6. Romans 8 and 6. I think this is the right one I want. Let's see here. For the call of mine is death. But yes. It's a simple scripture, but it has a lot of meaning to it. Paul wrote in that text. He wrote in verse number 6, to be carnally minded, that is the mind of the flesh, according to the American Standard Version. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And, you know, we as Christians need to be more concerned about that. Our hearts should be on seeking God's kingdom first. And as Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto your reasonable, to your service, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He tells our mind must be renewed. And the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, brethren. It's spiritual. And that's what we need to always remember. So I hope you got something out of it. And I hope you understand the social gospel has nothing to do with that at all. Social gospel may be popular with a lot of people today, but it is not the work of the Lord's church or the gospel of Christ. And the social gospel would not save. Only the gospel of Christ can do that. And Jesus didn't die just for us to be entertained, but to worship him and serve him. And so I think that this is enough for here for this morning, since I'm keeping an eye on the clock there and I want to get through it in time so we'll be able to start the next program up. But I hope you got some out of the things that we looked at here this morning. And I hope I helped some of you. You've probably been taught this already. Probably our brother here probably taught us a wonderful lesson concerning this. You study it yourself. But it's always good to talk about this because we need it. Here's the last thing. And guess who wrote this? Yarbrough, he wrote this. Listen to what he wrote. Church of Christ responsibility. Not to preach sociology, but salvation. Not economic, but evangelism. Not reform, but redemption. Not cultural, but conversion. Not political progress, but pardon. Not a social order, but the new birth. He talks about all these things that we're not supposed to do and what the church, many churches are now doing. Christ needs to be preached today, not entertainment. And so I hope you did get something out of that, and I look forward to bringing the next lesson when we get ready to dismiss. Do I need to say anything else? No. I said enough, huh? I said enough already.